included in what you're doing. You are so generous, and we just want to get in on it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Man, amen. Thank you, Sean. Well, good morning. I'm Kirk, and just to add on, Debbie and I are going to be on that Reynosa trip. So if you're wanting to go and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if we ought to go or not, why not come with us? I mean, are you ever going to be more safe than when the lead pastor goes? I don't know if I've ever been that the van hadn't broken down. It's an awesome trip. And I would say, as I've said before, one of the most important things that we did for our children was we began to take them to Reynosa when they were like 8, 10, and 11, somewhere in there. And it changed them. They saw stuff like what Eric was talking about. And so it changed them spiritually. It made them long to learn Spanish, which they all learned. Because, you know, your kids are going to be taking Spanish in the school systems anyway. This will give them an incentive. They'll meet kids down there and they'll think, wow, I want to be able to talk to these kids. I want to talk to this whole other world that I'm not able to communicate with easily. It'll give them motivation for that. And I'll just be really honest, it'll cut down a whole lot of whining. I'm just telling you. There is, you know, when it comes to, you know, when you grow up in North San Antonio and in the area that we're in, you know, hardship can sometimes, and I know there's real hardship, sometimes though hardship can be just that time when, you know, one of the cars is in the shop and so you got to ask a buddy to take you to school or something, or you have to take the old car. But we're talking about one of the most impoverished areas of the world. And it's just 50 yards across the river. And we go and we bring light and hope. It'll just impact you. So come with us. We'll be on it. And we just would love to have you be a part of it. I'm going to invite Brian McCleary up on stage. Brian shared in staff. Brian's our worship pastor. And Brian shared in staff, in our staff meeting. All the pastors meet on Tuesday morning. And he shared something that was very encouraging. And he also shared a dream that he had had. And the cool thing about dreams is that in Acts chapter 2, Peter says that after the resurrection of Jesus, which is what the Bible calls or refers to as the last days, that God's going to pour out his spirit on people, that young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. And it was a dream, I think you said you had, right?
That's right.
All right, old man.
And it's the other way around in my verse.
Yeah,
version,
so. Yeah, that's right. I want to see that Bible. And men and women and girls and boys, the Spirit of God will come on them and they'll get words to encourage one another with, words to instruct each other with, words to spur one another on with. And so it doesn't mean that every dream is of the Lord, but what it means is Romans 12 says that if we renew our minds, that when we think we've got something from the Lord, that we'll be able to test it and approve it and confirm that it's from the Lord. And I felt like and our pastors felt this way too, that what Brian shared in staff was something that needed to be shared on Sunday just to encourage you guys.
Yeah. So first I want to share with you, over the past, I think, consecutive 3 years, both Kirk and I have felt the Lord highlighting Ephesians 3:20.
Yeah.
Exceedingly more than we could hope for or imagine. I feel like the Lord wants to do that in our midst with our people, specifically with the body of Christ here at Crossbridge. And so I just want to just encourage you with a pretty cool kind of praise report. I guess it was about maybe 4 weeks ago, the Lord, I was in my time of prayer, the Lord said, hey, you're not asking me for enough. I was like, whoa, what does that mean? Okay. And he said, you're not, he just kept repeating it. And I'm like, okay, well, so and I think what it meant to me was there's sometimes when the Lord speaks and you know that it's directed toward you, you know, because I was like, well, I asked for a lot of other things, you know, for the people on my team, for the church, for my family. And so I'm like, okay, well, what, you know, I guess, so I started digging deep and I said, Lord, I was very specific and I felt like the Lord wanted me to be specific. And so, and how many of you have heard of Spotify? Give me a raise of hands. Okay. So I was asking the Lord for 50,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. Very specific number. For the music that I just released. Because of a number of things, I wasn't able to execute the perfect marketing strategy that I wanted to. And so I was asking the Lord to kind of to do the heavy lifting, you know, to do the supernatural, make those connections happen. Somehow, you know, I was like, God, you're the God of the impossible. This is not too hard for you. And so fast forward about 2 weeks, and Spotify decided to put my music on their editorial playlist, which is like three of their biggest playlists for Christian music. And if you're not aware, that's essentially like today's version of getting on the radio, right? So there's like over 1.5 million people this month will have the opportunity to hear my music. It's crazy. And so over like the past 2.5 weeks, I went from about 10,000 monthly listeners to right now it's sitting at 120,000. 120,000. And so I share that with you not to go, oh, check me out. it's simply this. Here's the cool thing of the reason why I feel like the Lord did above and beyond what I asked for was because he was after my heart. It's like I was so wowed by God going like, what? How could, you know, I didn't ask for that. And I didn't ask specifically to be featured by Spotify, which is, by the way, it's really rare. You know, you have to have like record label connections and all this other stuff going on and know people personally. And so the way the Lord orchestrated that was really, really like a lot of favor, just totally out of nowhere. Yeah, it's crazy. So, but the reason I bring it up is because what happened in my heart was it made me go, he actually did above and beyond what I asked for. And what it did was, instead of seeking his hand, what it did was it drew my attention to his face. And so while he gives us those gifts with his hand, so that we can, you know, we're to freely receive those gifts and to actually walk in confidence, knowing that we will never be able to deserve them, but he loves to give them. That's just who he is. He's a good God. He's a good father. So I share that because I just want to encourage you this year, and I encourage the staff as well, ask the Lord for specifics. Ask the Lord for specific things. Don't be afraid to do that. And watch him blow your mind, because that's what he's doing to me. I mean, he really is blowing my mind. So, the cool thing about it really is not the numbers, is not the people that my music is now reaching. The cool thing about it is that God exceeded my expectations. And I believe what that's doing to my heart is really transforming my heart and making me go, you are amazing. It's not amazing that he gave me the listeners and the exposure. What's amazing is him, you know? So he's like transforming my heart through all that too. So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
And I want to add something. I think one of the reasons I wanted Brian to share it was because Brian aligned his heart with God's heart. I mean, Brian is not looking to be, you know, rich and famous. You know, he's looking for Jesus's wealth to be made known and for Jesus to be made famous. And when you... And I know this guy's heart. When you align your heart with God's, it gives him room to do more than you ask or imagine. Yeah. And that's one of the key things, too. Align your heart with Jesus, and God will step in different ways. Because he wants people to know how much he loves them. He wants people to know how good he is. And that's what Brian's music is all about. And so that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah, yeah. And there's not a lot of money in Spotify. It's just streaming. So anyway, but it's great. It's reaching people, which is so exciting. And it's exactly that. So then I also wanted to share with you guys a dream that I had about 5 nights ago. I was in the dream. I was looking up into this like really, really blue sky. And I must have been outside on a porch. I'm not sure where I was. But I started to see this rip happen in the sky. And it just... kind of, if you can imagine, if you were to look up here and imagine it going all the way across the sky, I mean, what I saw was it started off slowly, and it was like a rip in the sky, and like behind that rip was the brightest white light I've ever seen in my life. It was so vivid. It was probably the most vivid dream I've ever had. And so it wasn't like the sun, how it's yellow, you know, the yellow light. It was actually like super white. And so I knew exactly what was going on. I was in my heart was like, whoa, it started beating really fast. The ground beneath me started shaking. And it's weird. I actually physically felt this when I woke up later. But so I started to see this rip in the sky start coming open. And I was like, whoa, Jesus is coming back. But my heart was like, this is odd. It's not the right time. And it was like, I wasn't upset. I wasn't thinking, oh man, I'm not ready. It wasn't that type of feeling. It was more so, this is odd. It's not quite the right time yet. And I was like, but okay, if this is what you want, you're in charge, you know? So I felt like, I'm trying to remember everything, but I saw after the feeling of the ground shaking underneath me and the feeling of the thunder and the sound of the thunder that I heard, I saw this finger start to close that rip back up. And I knew right away it was the merciful hand of God. And so the reason I'm sharing this is because I felt my heart quicken with the knowledge that we actually get to be a part of this generation right now, who the Lord is having mercy upon us by not coming just yet. He wants his desire, I knew right away, it was to have more children come home, to have more children come home to the family. And so so from that, I knew that it wasn't like a, oh man, we got to hurry up and get everyone saved. We got to do this. And it wasn't that feeling of we got to do this. It was actually the feeling of we get to do this. Mm. There's a huge difference. We don't got to do anything. We get to do it. And we get to be a part of what God wants us. He wants us right here, right now. You were chosen to be in this generation, in this time. And so the Lord has so much more for you if you will press into what his heart's desires are for our generation, the world right now that we live in. And so I was just encouraging the staff, and I want to encourage you with the same. Let's go after God. This year, I believe the Lord is showing me so much about he is the God of the impossible. And he wants us to stay close to his heartbeat. He wants us to know his ways. He wants us to stay in prayer. He wants us to fast to know him. So I'm encouraging my team this month to fast in any way they want, whether it be a 3-day, 7-day, 21, Daniel fast, social media fast, whatever it is. Do whatever it takes to sensitize your heart to the Lord. Do whatever you have to do to go, God, I want to lay hold of you and I want to know your ways, because your agenda is the one that I'm after. I'm not after my agenda. So it's totally like, it's like the Lord is sounding the alarm in my heart. I mean, I feel so like just revived and going, oh my gosh, the fact that he would even show me that, the fact that he would want me to be a part of bringing more souls into the kingdom. He said, it's basically the merciful hand of God that's delaying the second coming of Jesus. So.
Amen. Let's give it up for Brian. And let's pray. Let's just go to Jesus with that. Lord, would you speak to us now? You know, when we share something that we've heard your spiritual voice, whether it's in our time in the Word or in the dream, Lord, would you help us discern what does it mean for us individually for a moment? Oh, Father, we want to be in alignment with your heart. And we give you glory for the way that you're taking the music of the gospel through Brian, and you're reaching tens of thousands of people. Lord, we give you glory for that. We want all the glory to be to you. We want people to know you truly. Lord, we ask you to line our hearts with the merciful hand of God, that you withhold your coming, so that the window, the opportunity to choose you is extended, so that people may be part of your forever family. That's what we want to be a part of that, God. We want to align our hearts with that. Realign us with that, we ask. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the reasons I wanted Brian to share that is because in Acts, you know, we're walking through the book of Acts right now. It's going to take a number of months to go through. But in the book of Acts, after Jesus is resurrected, he's continuing to talk to his disciples about the kingdom of God. It's the number one thing he always talked about while he was walking the earth, was the kingdom of God. He talked about how it starts in us spiritually. He changes us. He gives us new power, new life. He gives us freedom from fear and anxiety and worry. He changes the way we relate to people in our marriages, our friendships, the way we parent our kids, the way we relate to our in-laws. He changes that because he works within us. So his kingdom starts inside of us, but then it influences the world because it changes us. And we're in the world right now. But there's going to be a day, he says, and this is the crazy thing, that he says he's coming back. He's going to physically come and establish a literal government on the earth. That's what we believe. That's what he was teaching while he was walking the earth. And then after his resurrection, he was there for 40 days and he continued to teach about it. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you've got your phone with you or your Bible, whatever you're looking at that's going to help you stay up with the Word of God, Jesus says this to his disciples: you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, the nation, in Samaria, the adjacent nation, and to the ends of the earth. And then Luke says this: after he said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And as they were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, or they were doing that, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking at the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And that's why I wanted Brian to share it, because there's this sky thing. Brian saw in his dream, you know, God kind of pull back the sky and show his glory like we're going to see when Jesus comes back. But then, because he knows when Jesus comes back, the opportunity to choose is gone. And God lays the sky back and impresses upon Brian that the need, the urgency, the privilege, the get to of being able to be his witnesses. It all fits with Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, "You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses here, and to the ends of the earth." And we don't have a lot of time because Brian took all my time. No. But we got just a few minutes, and I want you to grasp some things because they impact the way you're going to live, okay? In Acts 1:8, he says, you are going to receive power. Number one thing is you need to press into Jesus. We need to press into Jesus. He's made a promise. You are going to have power. When you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you now have power. But that power is a relational power. It's a personal power. It's not a power he just like tosses to you. It's a power that comes from being in relationship with him. Now, some of you know that before I was your highly esteemed pastor, I got out of Baylor and I took that expensive college degree that my parents paid for, and I went straight to Nashville to write country music, okay? And clearly I was wildly successful. Here I am. Yeah, this is where all the successful songwriters come. When I was there, the trick, in case you're thinking about going to Nashville, don't, by the way, but if you're thinking about it, the trick is not writing a great song. The trick is having somebody who can get that song to somebody who can do something with it on a CD. Well, I met this dude named Roger. Roger sold insurance, not related to the country music business at all, but he was friends with a guy named Ronnie Millsap. If you're my age, you may even know that name. Ronnie was one of the top country stars at the time, and I'd heard that Ronnie was picking songs for his next album. And so I went to Roger, and I said, "Roger," my first question to Roger was, "How well do you know Ronnie?" Because if Roger knew Ronnie well, then Roger might be able to get my song to Ronnie. But if Roger doesn't know Ronnie very well, then it's probably he's not going to be able to help me very much. Roger's power was exclusively limited to how well he knew Ronnie Millsap. Roger's power was only measured in terms of the intimacy and the influence that he had with Ronnie. He didn't have any, by the way. So, but what I'm saying is you understand what I'm talking about. The power that Jesus has for us is relational power. It's like, why do Debbie and I have a strong marriage? It's because we love one another. We share with one another. I forgive her all the time. No, she forgives me a whole bunch of the time. We put unity above being right, We'd rather have unity with each other than being right at the expense of the other. We walk through things together. We serve one another. And that creates a strong relationship. And that strong relationship is power. It's power. Helps me be a man of purity and holiness. It helps me walk in confidence knowing that I've got my best friend who loves me, supports me. Doesn't matter what y'all think, I've got this woman who loves me and is with me and for me, and I'm like that with her. And there's power in that. So if you want the power that the Holy Spirit has for us, we got to press in to Jesus, because the power is the power of relationship with him. Ever increasing intimacy. It's great, you know, I'm a man of the word. It is great to have knowledge of the Bible, and it's great to know things about God, but he wants you, and this leads into point two, he wants you to actually experience him. And that is point number two. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. In that is an implicit promise that you can expect to experience Jesus. Because who ever heard of somebody who was a witness to something that they'd never seen or never experienced? I was buying, this Christmas, I was going to buy one of those, I don't know what, it's like a pad you put in your chair, but it has these massage balls in it. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody nod your head so I know you're, okay, yeah, okay. So I'm reviewing those because I want to find the best one, right? Under 20 bucks. And so, because it's for Debbie, you know. And so I'm looking, so I'm reading the reviews on it. And somebody, this just made no sense to me. Somebody has a review and they write, I bought one just a few weeks ago. I haven't tried it yet, but the pictures on the box make it look really relaxing. I can't wait. So I'm like, that's like no help at all. Like, who ever heard of a witness who hadn't actually experienced the thing to which they'd been called to witness? So when he says that he's not just talking to his 12 guys there, his 11 guys, he's talking to us. Saying, when he says, you're going to be my witness, you can expect to experience him because he wants you to witness to the one that you've experienced. He wants you, and you can expect to feel joy growing in you as you press into him. You can expect him to reduce anxiety and fear in you. You can expect him to grow a sense of contentment in you, because he wants you and me, he wants our lives to be a witness to the reality of the transformational power that is him. He doesn't want us to go out on the street and just talk about something we don't know about. He's wanting you to have a genuine experience with him so that your life radiates with genuine joy and genuine peace. He wants you to have a story just like Eric Harmon talked about. You know, the attitude of being a macho Marine and then the Lord breaking down the need to be all macho and be tough and physically dominating. And God just broke his heart and changed him. You know, Eric, when he was sharing, that dude's a genuine witness. You could tell, I know, because I could tell too. This guy is talking out of his heart. He's not just talking something that one of the pastors wrote for him. He's like, Jesus has changed me, and he's real. Eric experienced something as he pressed into Jesus. And I want to encourage you, he has that for all of us. All of us. You can expect to experience him because he wants people, wants people to know him by looking at you. And the third thing about point number three, it still has to do with being a witness, is that we're going to be witnesses through our words and through our ways. You know, just to be honest, there's a misquote. Anybody ever heard of St. Francis of Assisi? Okay, there's a quote that says, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. That's a great sentiment, but he never said that, okay? And The gospel is preached. The witness that we are comes as we both live out the gospel and people see increasing joy in us and increasing contentment in us. The gospel, is we're a witness to who Jesus is as people see us handle ourselves differently in conflict, as we forgive people who offend us, as we reach out and make right relationships that in which we've been the offender. So the way that we live is a witness to people out in the world. And I want to say this, your job matters to God. Your job may be in the home. Your job may be in the marketplace. Your job may be in the school. I don't know where your job is. You may not even have a job. Maybe it's just, maybe you're retired and so you don't have a job per se, but you're living life. How you live life, the context, every context in which you spend your life is so, Jesus, it's so important to him. It matters to him because he made you with a certain skill set, a certain gift mix that reflects his glory. He loves to see you do your thing because he made you, and he loves to see what he made working well. But he also loves your job, and because there are people there that he wants to love, people there that he wants them to know his love. I'll give you a perfect example. There's a guy, I didn't ask permission for the story, so I won't give you his name. At least on purpose, we'll see how it goes. He does not like his job right now, and he's actively looking for another job, but his attitude is this. I know that while I'm in this job, I'm a witness to the transformational power of Jesus in me, because he's different. He's different than he was. And even though he doesn't enjoy what he's doing most of the day, he knows that there are people there that Jesus loves. And so he says, I'm going to make the most of the opportunity because the day I get a new job is the day I cease to relate to those people. Friday, he texted me, hey, I'm going to eat lunch with this dude in my office who I'd been talking with. He was down one day, and he asked me if I could tell him more about Jesus. And this guy isn't enjoying the actual job that he does, but he's adopted, he's aligned himself with this passion of Jesus to be a witness in the world. And God's including him in all sorts of things. The same way that God included Eric, and he mentioned Jason and Ruben Osuna, the way he included those guys in the Colonia with those dudes that pulled up in the car, God's including this guy in this job he doesn't even like, but he's giving him joy and significance in it. And right where you are is the place where God wants you to radiate and be his witness. And so that's why Christians ought to be the most excellent workers. We ought to be the best employees in the world. We ought to be the ones that follow through, that follow through with excellence, that keep our word. We ought to be the ones that bring value to the places we're in. I'll give you another story. There's a guy, he's in the field of education. And he said when his group of his department or section get together, it is sometimes when the head of that group is not there, the rest of the group will just talk about how challenging it is. And they'll really just be gossiping about this guy. And he said, I feel like I need to not be a part of that. And so he goes in, and when the gossip starts, it's just natural for him, but for the sake of people seeing the transformational power of Jesus, this guy just redirects the conversation and says, you know what, well, maybe there's a reason he's acting like this, and we ought to go after the rationale instead of just, you know, criticizing what he's saying. Maybe we should find out, what is the reason? What's the motivation? What's the incentive for this decision? Maybe there's something we don't understand. And he redirected things. And afterwards, someone said, wow, I want you to be in every meeting I ever have. He said, you just brought so much value and changed the tenor of that conversation. That guy is being a witness of the power of Jesus in his workplace. Where you work matters. What you do matters to Jesus. And how you do it matters. And that's why we're a witness through our ways. But we also need to be a witness through our words. Romans chapter 10:17, Paul says, that salvation or faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Every one of us who calls Jesus Lord needs to know how to share the story of our own transformation. I mean, it's great that people might think you're gentle or loving or wise or a peacemaker or an excellent whatever. But if you can't tell your story, or if you learn to tell your story, you can give Jesus the credit that's due him. So we ought to know how to share who we were, how we came to know Jesus, and the difference that he's made. We also need to know how to share the good news that Jesus offers everybody. Let me tell you what the Bible says about how you can have what I've experienced with Jesus. To help you out with that, on Thursday this week, 6:30 p.m., go to that next slide for me. I'm gonna have just a short seminar, an hour and a half. I'm going to teach it. I'm calling it Fearless Conversations. I want to show you, because I know everybody's personality is different. We got extroverts. We got introverts. I know everybody's makeup is different. I want to show you a way to live such that spiritual conversations will happen naturally and more frequently than they do right now. And see, when everybody probably feels butterflies in their stomach when they think about telling someone about Jesus. But if those conversations arise naturally out of the need that somebody had, or you were caring for them and they shared a problem in their life, when those conversations happen naturally, then the fear factor goes way down. And I'm cool if God's called you to go out on a street corner and hold up signs that say the end is near or whatever. Okay, go do that. Maybe not on our street corner, but it's okay somewhere. But I want you to know that there is a way that you can live, a way that you can orient your life such that you will find Jesus more and more like crazy frequently, putting you in a natural place to share something of his hope, something of his love. I mean, wouldn't you like that? Does it excite you at all, the prospect of being included by Jesus in something significant? I mean, maybe he's not going to have you share, you know, with three lowriders in the cartel that come up to you. Okay, maybe that's for Reuben and Jason and Eric. But if you knew someone was hurting and they confided in you, wouldn't it be natural to either pray for them or tell them something that's true about them in the eyes of Jesus that they may not be understanding or experiencing? Thursday at 6:30, I want you to come. You need to RSVP because I want 10 people at a minimum, okay? You got to have 10 people that sign up for this. It'll be 6:30 to 8:30. Not only will you learn how to live this life that will lead into fearless conversations, we'll also talk about how to tell your story of transformation, your personal story, and how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? So enough on the advertisement there. Last thing I want to share with you, and I'm trying to do this in time. Jesus says, go to the next slide for me, on point number four. He says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, there was a time, and I just got to be honest, when I just really did not care about people. I kind of figured, hey, if you live in America, you've had a chance to hear about Jesus. My gosh, we put it on the coins, you know? And that was my attitude about people that I was around. And much less, I mean, how much less did I care for people that were on the other side of the planet that I never saw? And the Lord convicted me. You know, this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit looks in our lives when we're followers of Jesus. And he identifies, hey, this thing in your life is out of alignment with where I want to be. Would you let me bring it into alignment? And he pointed out to me that the comfort and security of my life, the affluence of my life. This was when, you know, I was still in the business world, and the prospects of the future affluence were sort of consuming me. It was kind of all about my spreadsheets that projected what my income would be, what my portfolio would be if based on this rate of return and blah, blah, blah. And I realized, and what he said was, hey, Kirk, you're out of alignment. My heart is for the people in all the nations because I made them. And they are as precious to me as you are. And that parable I told about the man who had the 100 sheep and he lost one. And so he leaves the 99 and he goes and finds that one. He says, that's me, Kirk. I'm that shepherd. And those people next door to you, people that you work with, people you've never met on the other side of the planet, those, they're the one sheep, and it matters to me. And my heart and my intention is steadfastly set on my revealing love to them so that they might not spiritually perish, which means hell, and they might come and be a part of my family forever. And the Lord, you know, broke my heart and convicted me of selfishness and self-centeredness and how my life was oriented around not unimportant things, but things that paled in comparison to what was really important to Him. And so number four is the step that God moved in me, and He may need to move in some of us that are here today, that if we're going to be His witnesses, if we're going to experience His power, which comes from being with Him and close to Him, then we've got to embrace His heart for all people. And it's okay if right now you're where I was and you think, you know what, I don't care about people. And there's no shame in feeling that way, but something's got to change. And the way that you change that is not just by forcing yourself to think differently or just, okay, I'm going to act differently. You refer back to point number one and you press into Jesus. See, He never asks us to clean ourselves up. He never asks us to sweep out all the wounds and all the hurts from the past and our baggage and our hate and our bitterness. He doesn't tell you, figure all that stuff out, then come see me and we'll talk. Instead, He says, come to me, you who are weak and you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, because my yoke is easy. Think about that yoke that you put on an oxen and they're plowing. He goes, my yoke is easy and the burden that I have for you is light. Jesus does the heavy lifting. We press into Him. It's like many parents I know who've maybe had a child that's kind of gone off and is in a mess, and the parent loves them more than anybody else in the world loves them, and yet the parent is the very one that the child resists. It's the very one the child rebels against. The parent is the last one that this child would run to, when in reality, the parent is full of love and just desires to be a part of the restoration of that child's life. Jesus loves to do that. He doesn't ask us to clean it all up and then come to Him. He'll do it. We just press into Him. We just say yes to Him. And that's what I want you to do right now. I want you to take a moment to reflect. Maybe close your eyes. Maybe that helps you concentrate. Maybe that blocks out some distractions. Which of those four things is Jesus saying, hey, this one's for you? Do you need to press into Him? Do you need to say, Jesus, help me. I want to expect to experience you. Maybe your faith is just dried. You haven't seen Him work or move in any powerful way, and you just need to say, Jesus, you need to cry out. I want to experience you to be the Father, 1 John 3:1 says, the Father that loves us so much, he lavishes love upon us and calls us his kids. I want to feel that. Maybe you need to look at your life differently and say, I need to realize that my words and my ways will be a witness to someone or to something. Lord, help me be a witness of you. Or maybe you need to embrace the Father's heart for all people. Just ask him which of those or something else maybe is important for you right now. It doesn't take long. Just say yes to him. Whatever he said, you don't have to know all the answers, all the next steps. Just say, yes, I agree with you. Ask him, is there anything, God, that's getting in the way of my saying yes? Anything getting in the way, God, of my being obedient to you? He'll answer. He'll bring something to your mind. Is he asking you to loosen your grip on something? Is he asking you to, hey, would you let go of this so I can give you something better? If he is, will you just trust him and say yes? Oh, Father God, you have made yourself known. You have revealed yourself to us. That's the only reason we know you. And you say that you want us to know you more. So, Lord, we just commit to that. We want to know you more. We want to press into you. We want to discover really how good you are. Lord, we want to bring to you our hurts and our frustrations and our confusion and our big questions and our heartaches. And we want to give you room to address them, but we're going to press into you. We're going to say no to religion and ritual, God. We're not going to look for those things to give us what only you personally can give us. So I just ask, would you just speak to each person's heart your special words of love? May they know that you're real. Experience that you're real. We thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to continue in our series in Acts. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. When you came in, some of the ushers or a greeter may have given you a bulletin, a trifold thing. Pull that out for a second, wave it around so I know somebody's awake. Thank you, Rick. There's one.